Yay. Hi, everybody. This is Michael Trotta. Today is, funny noise in the background. This is the October 2015 cohort, Coach to Coach, Practicum 3, Class 1, Group E. And it is Monday, February 29th, 2016. You know I only teach this class once every 4 years, everybody?
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yep. Okay, that was a better response than the earlier class. I want you to know that, and everybody from the earlier class was listening. But, that was my attempted humor. So, whatever, I'll let it go. Leap year, Anyway, I'll spare you the bad jokes. let's get into it then. So, Coach to Coach 3, what are we going to be talking about? Well, today we'll be talking about Dream Analysis and Seven League Boots, two of my really favorite tools, especially Dream Analysis. It's such an amazing tool. Next week, Metaphor Tool, or in 2 weeks. Then we'll be using the Living Space Tool, and then we'll be talking about WIGs, Wildly Improbable Goals. I had a nice talk with Duska before we began, and she was kind of filling me in on her experience of the program so far and where we're at. And I have to tell you guys, both groups, today, this afternoon, and this morning, you guys have the most amount of enthusiasm and excitement for this training at this point in the training out of any group I've worked with so far. And I've been teaching this for about 3 years now. So it's really, really exciting to see because you've been doing this for a while now and you're just getting over the hump. And if there's anything I can do to keep that momentum going for you, please do not hesitate to shoot me an email. And if anything that we do in class or that I do feels like it's kind of impeding that or slowing it down, please shoot me an email because my want is to, support you and to make this the best possible experience for you. And I can only do that if you come to me and we work on whatever it is that needs working on, if anything. A couple more people popping in. I just want to make sure check them in. Gina, I saw you, and Rhonda. Okay. So there is something that the instructors have been playing around with. Normally, we used to ask questions at the beginning of the hour, Q&A kind of time. Now we're going to just try to ask towards the end about this class or anything else that's happened so far that you might want questions, have questions on. So I'm going to open that up in about the last 20 minutes of class. And if nobody has questions, then we'll go back into working with the tools. So then let's just kind of dive in. This group, again, fantastic. So many people posted both Dreams and Seven League Boots meditation experiences on the forum. So rather than having to create some symbols to work with, you guys have come with them. So we're going to start right away. I haven't picked anybody on the list, but I do want to acknowledge that I have written down here. Alan, Ray, Bridget, Tracy, Catherine, Donna, you all posted something. Would one of you like to volunteer to be led through this tool?
I would.
This is Ray.
Oh, wow.
Whoever.
Now what do I do?
Go with the other person because I'll reserve. I have a question for you, so that'll be my
time. Who is the other person?
This is Ray saying go with the other person.
Okay.
And Donna was the person that said she would do it.
Sweet, Donna. Was that Donna who just said Donna was the person?
Donna, yes. This is Donna.
Gotcha. We talked the third person thing through me. Okay, so Donna, thank you. Now,
sure.
I'm going to talk a little bit, like kind of coffee talk, coach talk here about what I'm doing while I'm doing it at certain times. So I'll do like a little sidebar and then tell you. To start off, when I'm using the Dream Analysis tool, there's a couple ways that analyzing a dream might come up. The first and most obvious way is your client's like, I had the weirdest dream last night and I have no idea what it means. Perfect. You can go right into it. Introduce what, I have this tool. It's called the Dream Analysis tool. If you want to give them a little background information, it's was kind of developed by Carl Jung, and Martha's taken her understanding of it and created this little formula for it. And if you want, it's great. And one of the things that kind of came out of the earlier class today was I'm blanking now. Okay, going to let that go. It just fell right out of my head. I don't know what it was. It'll probably come up in the middle of the next sentence. It was something about helping your client become more comfortable. Oh, I know what it was. The helping them understand that the dream analysis tool is not you analyzing their dream. So, Donna, I'm not going to analyze your dream. I'm just going to use this framework to help you bring about a new awareness of what the symbols mean. And you're really the ultimate analyzer of it. And the reason I often share that with clients is because a lot of us have experiences of seeing, you know, big old books that are like an encyclopedia of dream symbols and analysis. And you go in the book and you find the symbol and, you know, teeth falling out of your head means you're anxious and horns growing out of your head mean you're evil. Not all symbols fit all situations. Certainly, we all have different experiences. And every dreamer has their own interpretation. Not to say that there's not overarching archetypal understandings of symbols, but just because there's always a possibility that a person will have a different experience of it, we don't analyze them that way. So what I'm going to do is ask Donna to share the dream with me. And while I'm listening, I'm going to be listening for the symbols that we're going to decode. Typically, I'm listening for nouns, things like a person, place, or thing, and occasionally an action word, a verbal kind of stand out as really significant. And I know that by either the emphasis that she puts into it, or sometimes it's a repeated action. And over time, you kind of get the idea, okay, this one does stick out. So the more you do it, the more you'll understand it. And if you have doubt, you can always just put the symbol in there. Ask the client, does this feel like a significant symbol? And if they say yes, then go for it. It's either going to provide information or it's going to provide nothing. It's not going to provide false information. What else? So that's what we're going to do. Just kind of as an extra here, most coaching sessions are about an hour long. I remember my first time I went through the dream analysis tool, it was actually Martha who did it. The night before, she said, I told her I never have dreams, or at least I don't remember them. And she suggested that, well, tonight, before you go to bed, set the intention to have a dream and remember it. I said, okay. And I had the most epically long dream I can remember having in my entire life. And the next day, she's like, did you have a dream? And I told her all about it. And it literally took 2.5 hours to do the whole dream analysis. She did every symbol. She was being very generous. And it was an amazing process. But if you're running an hour-long session, that's going to be really difficult. So in those cases where I get somebody who's got a really, really long dream, I'll ask them to tell it to me, and I'll kind of write out the symbols as we go, and then I will ask them to pick about 5 significant symbols. Or I'll say, why don't you tell me about the part of the dream that really has you scratching your head? You know, just to sort of truncate it a little bit. And I've never had an experience where in shortening things a little bit, where the person didn't get something valuable out of it. And the benefit also of doing that, making it a little bit shorter, if it turns out to be really long dream, is that you can go through the whole process with them. Does that make sense? Because we want to go to completion. This is not the kind of tool, in my experience, that you want to start and say, we'll finish next week. It really works well when you go the full circle with it. So, that said, Donna, I am just about ready. What I'd like everybody else to do is to play along. Listen carefully to Donna and write on a piece of paper the symbols that you hear. before I go through the analysis with her, I'm going to just check in and see who's got what to make sure that we all have the same or close to the same symbols. So why don't we just start with that part? So Donna, when you're ready, why don't you share your dream, please?
Okay, so I was out, girls' night out. I don't remember where we were, but there was a whole bunch of girls. And we decided at the end of the night to go back to one of the girls' places. And that's really when the dream becomes much more vivid to me. And there was friends of mine from today, and then there was girlfriends from back in high school. So it was a mixed group. And we were sitting around, and we were talking, and we were laughing, and then there was a knock on the door, and somebody answered the door, and my husband, who I recently separated from, his name's Frank, came in, and he was wearing a Ku Klux Klan outfit. And I looked at him, and I said, "What the blank are you doing?" And he said, "Donna." He, like, said it in such a condescending voice, "Donna, you know I'm an educator, and I do project research. Why would you, that's what I'm doing." And I said, "But why are you dressed like that?" And he just looked at me, like, looked down at me and said, "I'm doing research." So, like, this is, like, late at night. I'm in somebody's place that he wouldn't know. And he comes in this outfit. And as the dream went on, and he kept trying to have a conversation with me, and all these other people are there, and they're just, like, looking and laughing, this outfit turned into, like, something you would see some character standing outside of a store trying to get somebody to go in. It was, like, this foam white thing that had this pointy top to it, and all you could see was, like, just this circle of his facial features. So it was, like, kind of comical, the outfit, as the dream went on. And he wouldn't leave. He just wanted to sit there and talk to me, even though it wasn't the right time or place. And then the dream ended.
Perfect. Great. Just out of curiosity, in retelling the dream, is there any part of you that's trying to figure it out and maybe even trying to, well, first answer that question. We won't go any further than that. Any part of you trying to figure this out as you're telling it?
I was trying to figure it out today.
Okay. It'd be natural if you were. The point and my reason for asking is often people come to dream analysis, this, you know, part of the, with kind of like a preconceived notion, like it's, they're taking on this job of trying to figure out what this means. And in doing so, sometimes they'll hesitate in the telling, or you can just hear it in their voice a little bit. And so one of the things I want to reassure you, as I do my clients, is to just let this be easy. And the best way to let it be easy is to just share with me what you're seeing in your mind's eyes, kind of replay the dream, and we'll worry about the analysis later. And what can be really fun for you, too, is as we go through this next part, just allow whatever comes up to come up and be spoken. Notice if at any point you're censoring yourself or judging the dream or holding back, and just put that aside for a minute and let what sometimes absolutely ridiculous things come out. And in the end, they turn out to be really profound for you. But if you're trying to play two roles, the coach and the client, it's really tough to do. And that's why this works well with two people. And dream analysis is very tough to do on yourself. So that said, is there somebody who could just share with me the symbols that they captured?
Yeah, this is Catherine.
What'd you find?
Well, first, Frank, the ex-husband, the outfit, the Ku Klux Klan outfit.
Uh-huh.
And then friends laughing. So I guess friends, because that would be a noun. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I have too. So I wrote it down in order as she was talking. There was the girls. There was the girls' place where they went to. There was the friends of today, and then the girlfriends of the past, Frank, and then the KK outfit. Because this was such a short dream, I am going to limit this to the girl's place. I'm not sure that that has significance, but we have time to go through it. Friends of today, friends of the past, Frank, and the KK outfit. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 symbols, which is perfect. So I didn't say this before. I don't know if you guys have printed out a copy of the dream symbol worksheet that you have, a PDF link to. I have my own made up, and just in a fashion that works for me. It's not very much different. But what it looks like is it has, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4 columns. The first column is symbols. The second column is 3 adjectives. The third is what's your purpose. And the fourth is what message do you have for the dreamer? There are sub questions that go in there that I'm just familiar with, and I kind of make up as I go. But my point is, use the worksheet that they have, but if there's a way that you need to modify it that makes more sense to your brain's organization, as long as you follow the basic structure, you're totally allowed to do that. So that said, in my symbols list, I'm going to put the symbols. And what I'm going to ask you to do, Donna, if you're not already, is to do whatever you have to do to get yourself comfortable. Often this works really well when you close your eyes. Maybe take a few breaths. And the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is to become the girl's place, the actual physical place that the girls and the girlfriends go to. And class, people who have never done this before need to be taught how to do it, and it takes a little bit of patience. And what I'm listening for as the coach is where she's speaking, but not from the place of being the object. And one of the real big clues to that is they'll say something like, they'll talk in the first person, but they'll talk out of the first person as if they're seeing the symbol. So they might say, Donna might say, okay, the place, well, it's kind of like blue and it's big. And right there, it sounds to me like she's not the place. So if she was speaking first person, I am blue, I am soft, then I know she's more likely embodying the actual thing. And if you hear them pop out, just gently invite them to stop and go back into being the object. And we'll see if it happens. So Donna, let's start with the girl's place, that place you mentioned where they all go to. I'd like you to become that place. And when you're ready, give me 3 adjectives to describe yourself. You can begin by saying, I am the place and I am.
Okay. I am the place. I am welcoming. I am cozy. And I am non-distinct.
Distinct. Great. Now, welcoming, cozy, and non-distinct place where the girls hang out. What is your purpose? What do you provide or do?
I provide a comfortable, spacious place for all the girls to hang out, be themselves, and talk.
Great. Just write it down. So place that provides this comfortable and spacious space for the girls to hang out and be themselves, is there any other purpose that you serve?
I don't think so.
Okay, great. And so class, quick sidebar, that's one of the things we do. You ask the question, typically they give an answer, then ask the question again. Is there anything else? If you can keep going, you can keep going until they either say, no, that's it, because you will go deeper and deeper. I tend to never go past 3 questions unless it feels really like my instinct is like, oh, this is hot, let's go another one deeper. But so don't be afraid to push past the first question is what I'm trying to say. Okay, girls' place, that's cozy, welcoming, and non-distinct, that provides a spacious place for those girls to play and be themselves. What message do you have for Donna? What would you like her to know?
I would like her to know that this is a place where she can just be herself, enjoy her friends, and that she's safe.
And what was that last part?
And that she's safe.
And that she's safe. Great. Okay, Donna, you're doing great. We're going to move into the next symbol. And it seems like you're doing this, but just in case, I'm going to encourage you to continue it. Just let whatever wants to come out, come out. Sometimes the strangest things come up. So now I'd like you to be that part of the group of girls that show up or represent your friends of today. And I'm going to call you friends of today. So when you're ready, friends of today, give me 3 adjectives to describe yourself.
Okay, I am friends of today. I am non-judgmental, nurturing, and fun.
Great. So fun, non-judgmental friends that are nurturing. What's your purpose?
Our purpose is to Our purpose is to be there when Donna needs us.
Anything else?
I
don't mean to pull you out of it, but at the same time, you just said, I'm thinking. Are you thinking? Are you like trying to find the thought? Or if nothing's popping up, that's totally fine too.
Yeah, no, I was thinking. I was pushing.
Yeah, okay. You don't have to. You can relax. You know? We kind of might have stretched a little bit by splitting the group of girls. And so that's why, you know, you're finding this one thing. And sometimes it is, I mean, that is a lot. We're here when you need us. So we'll get into that.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you to go back into that non-judgmental, nurturing, fun group of friends that are there when you need us. And from that place, group of friends, what's your message for the dreamer? What do you want her to know? try this. I am the friends of today, and our message is.
Hey, Michael, I got dropped out there. I'm back in. This is Donna.
I was just having an awesome conversation with you. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault. Where did you drop off? We had you at the one piece about what's our purpose, which was to be there when she needs us. Yeah, and then you said you were thinking a little bit. So here's what I'd like you to do. Drop back into the group of friends from today. Be that non-judgmental, nurturing, fun group whose purpose is to show up when she needs us. And group of friends from today, what's your message for Donna?
Just be yourself.
Great. Is there anything else you want her to know?
No.
Okay.
No.
So, Donna, let's switch over to Friends of the Path. There's a group of people within this group that you've known from the past. Give me three adjectives to describe yourself.
So I am the girls from Donna's past. And I am forgotten. And out of touch. And I am interesting.
So interesting, forgotten group that's out of touch. What's your purpose for being here?
Our purpose for being here is to remind Donna that she has a lot of friends, that even though she hasn't talked to them in a while, that we're here and we love her and we want to be engaged with her.
Anything else?
No.
So, group of friends that are here to remind her that she has a lot of friends, even though you've lost touch, and that you love her and want to reengage with her. Do you have any specific message or thing you want to tell her that she needs to know from you?
Oh. Don't be afraid to reach out and to engage. Yeah, she shouldn't be afraid.
Great. Okay, Donna, we're almost there. Now, remember what we're going to do, and I'm saying this because I've done almost this very similar scenario, and it was harder for a person before. But the symbols are all parts of yourself, right? So in becoming Frank, you are becoming a part of yourself that wants to show up through the symbol of him because it knows that's the best way to communicate the message it has for you. So I just want to check in and make sure you're cool with that because I have seen people be like, I don't want to become my ex. Are you okay with it?
I am, yeah.
Cool. So you get to be Frank. So the symbol of Frank. So when you're ready, become Frank and give me three adjectives to describe yourself.
I'm giving you three adjectives for Frank to describe himself. Is that right?
No. I want you to become Frank
okay.
And say, I am Frank and I am.
Oh, okay. All right. I am Frank and I am... I am. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I am caring.
Mm-hmm.
And a snob. And I am short-tempered.
Okay. So caring and snobby yet short-tempered, Frank. What's your purpose for being here in the dream?
To remind Donna that I am smarter than everyone else. To remind Donna. Did you give me those words, remind? Remind Donna? Or am I making that up?
No, you said that.
Oh, okay.
I said, what's your purpose?
Okay.
I'm
in this dream. I am in this dream to
Another thing you might do, Frank, is why are you here knocking on this door, showing up? What's your purpose in this scenario?
To let Donna know that I'm watching her.
Great.
And I'm in this dream to let Donna know that I'm just as important as her friends.
So, Frank, you're caring, snobby, short-tempered. You're here to let Donna know that you're watching her and that you're just as important as her friend. What do you want her to know? What's your message for her?
Well, my message for her is that I'm the smart one. And I'm smarter than all her friends. And I want her to know that I want her attention. That one feels stronger.
Yeah, it feels it actually. Want her attention. Okay. So you get to shake that off.
Okay.
I just want to point out, since we're here, it was fascinating that when we started, Frank, you switched the whole thing to, you had asked, wait, am I supposed to be Frank? Am I supposed to describe Frank? Like you were, and that's why I was like, no, you're recreating it so that you, it seemed this way to me anyway. Didn't actually have to be Frank. Did you notice that? It's just fascinating.
I lost what I was supposed to be doing, yeah.
Isn't that amazing how we do that? Like, it just, the mind has a way. So I'm just putting a little pin in that. I don't know. We don't need to make anything of it, but it's just a neat little awareness. And it might reveal something later. Okay, so now you get to take Frank off and become a KKK outfit. So when you're ready, actually be this outfit, and as the outfit, I'm just going to call you the outfit, give me three adjectives to describe yourself. I am the outfit, and I am
the outfit. I am distinctive. I am full of hate. And I am silly.
And silly, distinctive, and hateful KKK outfit, what is your purpose for being here?
Mm. to create attention.
Yeah. Anything else?
To be different.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No.
Okay, great. Last part, outfit, that's here to create attention and be different. What is your message for Donna? What do you want her to know?
I want her to know there's all different kinds of people, and she needs to choose the kind of people that she wants to be with.
Anything else? Is there anything else?
No.
Great. Okay, Donna, you get to shake off all those symbols and join me right back here. And now,
okay, folks,
now what I'm going to do, and this is one of the most important parts I almost skipped in the last group, I'm going to read back the symbols and the descriptions to Donna so that Donna gets to hear them, because before she was them. And though it might feel to her like she was there the whole time, she was kind of stepping out of herself. So now she gets to hear what she said from a slightly different angle. And Donna, all I would invite you to do as you're listening is to just notice what you notice. And by that, I mean pay attention to things that stand out for you, to things that resonate, to things that surprise you, to things that bring up emotion in one way or the other. Because ultimately, you're the one who gets to make sense. And then afterwards, I'll ask you what came up. And then we'll see where we go from there. It all depends on that part. So we've heard the story. We've gone through the symbols. We've gathered the adjectives, purpose, and message. The next piece is to read it back to her. So, okay, here goes. So you had this dream where this group of friends, mixed group of friends from the past and present, go to a safe place that feels welcoming and cozy, and it's sort of nondescript. It provides a comfortable and spacious place for the girls and really parts of yourself to be yourself. And the message that this place that allows you to be yourself had for you was to know that you can be yourself here, enjoy your friends, and that you are safe. Now, in this group of friends, there was current friends that you have. Who are your friends that are non-judgmental, nurturing, and fun? They are here to be there for you when you need them. And their message to you is also just be yourself. Now, the friends from the past who you've actually forgotten about it and perhaps have come out of touch with and yet are interesting, they want to remind you that even though you've lost touch and it's been a while, they love you and that they want you to re-engage with them. And don't be afraid to re-engage and reach out. And then there was a knock on the door, and there's Frank. He's caring, which at the time seemed like you were surprised by that, and then yet snobby and short-tempered. And he's here to let you know that he's smarter than everyone else, that he wants you to know he's watching, and that he feels like he's as important as your friends. And his message to you is really that he wants your attention. And perhaps to help him with that, he shows up in this KKK outfit that's distinctive, clearly, full of hate and silly. And it's being worn to create attention and to be different, perhaps stand out. And that the message that it brings is that there are all different kinds of people, but you need to pick and choose who you want to hang out with. So that's me sharing back almost exactly what's written down, kind of sharing it back in sentence form as it was playing out with a, not interpretation, but this is what this is. This is what this is based on what she's told me. I've got a whole bunch of things I want to go into, but Donna's leading this. So Donna, tell us what comes up for you, stands out. What do you notice?
The repetitive be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There a whole bunch of times.
Yep.
The fact that Frank is watching me is weird. The full of hate really resonates with me. And
what is it about that resonates with you?
I think he's really full of bitterness. And yeah, he just can't get through that right now. And the choose who I want to be with, and that's what it really is with Frank. It's choose who I want to be with. That's what it's been in my marriage with him.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be with those people who are not as smart as I am, or do you want to be with me?
Mm. So from where you're sitting, is there anything in this that feels usable for you?
Be yourself, my God. Yes.
Yeah.
That's usable. Choose who I want to be with. Well, I did that already. Right? I separated, so I've already made that decision.
Hmm. Just out of curiosity, was it difficult to be yourself with Frank?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so class. Now, so I've given Donna the first round. Tell me about what's going on, what came up. And there's a whole bunch of little nuggets in there that I'm curious about and I could go deeper in, like to be yourself. I might start with, so what prevents you from being yourself? You know, where do those blocks come up? I could go into, you know, and looking for limiting beliefs. I might also go into the Frank is watching me as weird. I might go into that right now. Donna, so what was weird about that for you?
That he's watching me. He knew where I was. He's not afraid to come and engage with me. He shouldn't be watching me. He should know where I am, right?
So the way I look at these symbols is that they're really all parts of you. So the question from that, like I'm getting curious about, is like Frank is showing up as a symbol in the dream. And this thing that he's doing that's kind of creeping out as he's watching you makes me wonder what part of you is showing up, watching you almost in that judgmental way. Or is there a part of you that's doing that, that's showing up towards yourself with that same kind of Frank-like energy? Does that make sense to you?
No, try and say it differently, another way.
Yeah.
Can you ask me that a different way?
Yeah, I'm just thinking. I'm thinking of a how to approach it in a slightly different way. Because in my mind, it's kind of like thought work. So Frank is watching me because he's not really watching you. It's in this dream, right? And that brings up some fear for you, or discomfort is what I heard. Okay, here's another way. Become, for a moment, the discomfort of this symbol of Frank watching you. Or actually just notice where that discomfort is and tell me where you're feeling that in your body when you're there.
In my stomach.
In your stomach. And,
yeah.
And describe to me the feeling in your stomach.
It's the feeling that I had before I separated from him. When we were going through the whole body thing, I kept getting this feeling in my stomach. And it resolved itself when I separated from him. And it's the exact same feeling
okay. That
went away before that's back.
And what did the feeling tell you? Then when you had it, like, did you go into it and speak to it? What was it feeling? And even now, what's the feeling trying to tell you?
If he's watching me or I feel that he's watching me. There's a part of me that has a harder time being my true self. I'm on edge.
So if the feeling telling you that he's watching you, is there, I can't help but believe there's not, I could be wrong, a benevolent message. Like it wants to tell you, because we have our feelings because they're there to support us and speak to us if we're willing to listen. So there's this supportive feeling, even though it's uncomfortable, and it might even intensify in order to get you to listen. If you can just get still for a minute and go into that feeling, it's there to serve you. And the question is, how is it trying to serve you? Its job is to let you know what? Or you can become, just like the dream analysis, become the feeling. And I am the feeling in my stomach, and my message is, anything?
No.
Okay. It happens. It doesn't mean that there's anything. So, I mean, it could mean that there's nothing there. Sometimes that happens. And that's it. Sometimes the dreams are really simple. And the message is be yourself. And that's actually more profound than you may realize. But I do, the symbol of Frank is not Frank. It's not Frank coming to you in a dream trying to tell you, I'm watching you. And then you need to get creeped out because you think he's outside watching. That's not what it is. All symbols, and this is important, guys, to be aware of. Sometimes people have symbols that bring up fear. It's a benevolent symbol that has a message from you for you. It's not the actual thing that's there to frighten you. And that's what I wanted to explore with Don a little bit. And if there were more time, I think we could explore. But what I would probably do, because we're not getting anywhere right now in this moment, is I'd kind of put it to the side and say, you know, let's pay attention to that, come back to it later. Otherwise, I could spend the entire session trying to fish around, and I don't want to try to create something that's not there either. So I'm going to go back and just say, hey, you know, you actually do have some really good messages here. There's a few questions out of all of this. I might go into, like, the friend's past. You know, can you think of anybody that you'd like to connect with? You know, are there people out there? I also might offer at this point some of my awareness or tracking. Now, I've never worked with Donna before, but just going through this and looking at all of these things, it seems clear to me, Donna, that in safe places, and that's kind of metaphorically, you feel safe to be yourself. And it's important for you to find safe places, not physically, or create them, where you can practice that. And it sounds like you've done that by saying, hey, Frank, you know, you coming into my space makes me feel unsafe, so I'm sorry, you're out. Is that fair to say?
That's very fair to say.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I would judge really important to do. I also think it's kind of funny that Frank in the dream shows up in this crazy outfit wanting to get your attention, knocking on the door. Kind of, I picture him as like in a Gumby outfit almost, but with a white, like you described, saying, you know, pay attention to me, here I am, I want attention. And he even said that, or you had said that in his purpose. He's sticking out, being very different, because there is this thing within you that's trying, how do I put this? It's not you trying to get your own attention. I think it's, and you tell me where I'm wrong, but an awareness of, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to put it, so I'm going to think about it. I'm going to leave it at, I think what's really strong here and clear is the importance of creating safe space for yourself, that you have friends that help hold that space for you, and that there are people in the past that you can still draw on. And my hunch is there are parts of yourself that you can still draw on to help you strengthen that safety. So, good stuff. Thank you for volunteering. And if I can figure out a better way to explain what I was trying to a minute ago, I will. I'll get to you.
Okay.
Cool.
Thanks, Michael.
And yeah, you're welcome. That went way longer than I was expecting. My fault, not Donna's. But before we turn it over to you guys, I'm going to ask, are there any questions about the process or things that you noticed or are curious about?
Michael, this is Ray, and I have a question.
Okay.
So I remember somewhere reading or hearing Martha saying that this process can also be applied to anything that you're paying particular attention to in your waking life, people or items or whatever the case may be. Is it just the same exact process?
Yeah, so...
Pretty
much. I used to do,
okay,
I guess you could call it like outdoor meditation, where I would tend a fire like all day long. And as I was tending the fire, I would just track the things that showed up and caught my attention. Turkey vultures flying overhead, a deer walked by, the clouds always all of a sudden changed, a light rain, things like that. Like it just felt like I noticed it and they were interesting. And then I'd go back home, I'd journal everything that I noticed, and then those things would become the symbols. And then I would just ask somebody to lead me through the process. And I would often get really amazing understandings of, because I would go to that fire, if you will, with an intention, typically to learn or understand something. And so by analyzing all of those things that stood out, yeah, I would get really great clarity on what it was I was looking to better understand. Does that help?
Yeah, very much so. Thank you.
Yeah. And you can do it with emotions too, like I was trying to do with Donna. Especially if the person's kind of stumped, like, I don't know, I'm just angry. I don't know why I'm angry. And you can go into
right.
I thought you guys did some of this with the mind-body coaching, did you not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did.
That's similar. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to be really strict about, oh, you can only do it in this kind of with dreams, but I'm seeing more and more people are doing it with all different sorts of experiences, and it's not going to harm anything. You're really looking to understand what parts of you haven't yet fully acknowledged, and so this is a great tool to kind of separate yourself a little bit from your thinking mind, so that your subconscious and kind of emotion body can have a better understanding of what you're experiencing internally.
Right. Okay. Great. Thank you.
That's a really long-winded way of saying try lots of different things.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay, so before we have somebody else go, another thing that you can do, and I typically do on these calls, because I so rarely have people like you guys show up with dreams all ready to go. Like, how do you teach a dream analysis class when nobody's got a dream, right? It's like, So what I used to do is lead the group through my version of the 7-League Boots meditation, have them go in, get symbols, come back out with their symbol, and then say, great, become the symbol. I am the feather and I am. And you can just analyze the symbol just like that right out of the meditation. The brilliant thing about that is that it's fantastic for workshops, you know. Great when you want to introduce the tool to a client and they haven't been dreaming, so they can kind of start to learn the process. And in fact, Donna, I'm curious, did you feel like you were learning how to allow yourself to go through the dream analysis, being facilitated through it? Was there like a learning curve for you?
You mean doing both?
With me leading you through it, did you notice over time that you started to get how to kind of just let it happen?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
Okay, so I won't put you on the spot. What I've noticed for myself and for others when they're new to the dream analysis tool, in the very early stages of it, there's a little bit of resistance and a little bit of getting used to somebody asking you the questions and a little bit of become the symbol. What the hell does that mean? I don't know. You know, so they have to kind of practice dropping in and embodying the symbol. So using a guided meditation and then the dream analysis tool on it can allow you as a coach or a facilitator opportunities to practice being those things. That's what I was trying to say. And Don, it seemed to me like as the analysis went on, you became more and more fluid and more comfortable, and we were able to go a little bit faster paced.
I had no trouble as we moved along until I got to Frank being the symbol.
That's different. That's because of that symbol. That symbol has multiple meanings for you, right? There's the meaning within the dream, and then there's Frank. And that's why I asked you ahead of time, are you comfortable doing this? For that very reason. And you went for it, so I appreciate that. Okay, enough of me talking. We've got a couple other dreams, and all I want to do is have one person kind of step up, share their dream. We're all going to write down the symbols, and then I'm just going to ask a couple different people to go through a couple of the symbols. The goal not necessarily being to get through the whole dream and analyze it, but to just practice leading somebody through the symbol, the three adjectives, what's your purpose, what's your message, and really working on the pacing. There's a whole bunch of different little tricks to work on the pacing, and we'll see if they come up or not. So let's see. I have who is it? Ray, do you want to share your dream since you spoke up before?
Sure. If I remember it, I actually have to pull it up for a second, if that's okay. Okay.
We have a bunch of other people too who have it.
If I still have a question for you, so I don't want to dominate, so if someone else wants to go and then I could save my question for you at the end, I'd be happier with that.
Okay. Well, do you, you know what? Just because I know I'm horrible at timing, do you want to ask your question now?
Sure. Just general question about bringing these tools to kids. I'm feeling a little lost in the program just because it's very adult-centered, and I know this could this would be wonderful for kids and the kids that I work with, and so they don't lose their magic, so they don't get to adulthood and have lost their magic. But I don't know how to make a lot of them more accessible to the population that I want to work with.
Gotcha. So, just background, I don't know if you heard this before, I was an elementary school teacher for many, many years before I went into coaching, and then started my own nature-based program where I worked primarily with children for 10 years. So, right there with you.
Cool.
My opinion, and this is an opinion, there are coaches in the tribe who do direct their work towards children.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to working with kids, I believe more in a mentoring approach, meaning modeling the experiences through play more than through coaching, which can feel almost therapeutic in nature if you go down that route.
Mm-hmm.
So with dreams, what I do, and I have a five-year-old, what I do with her every morning is say, "Do you have any dreams last night? What did you dream about? Tell me about it. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. So what was the, you know, oh, there was a monster. What did it look like? You know, it's conversational.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are, I with her, a five-year-old, I haven't done this, but with other people, when they're a little bit older, I will go a little further into it, but I always keep it light. And this is, again, my opinion, and and playful, and use curiosity as the guiding force. So if I were going to do dream analysis with a kid, I'd probably wait until, well, first, I think they almost have to have and be in that developmental stage where they're really starting to be metacognitive, meaning they're thinking about their thinking, you know. Does that make sense? And that normally comes around adolescence.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But all of these tools have, I think, ways that can be mildly modified, or some not modified at all, that will work with kids. But for the younger kids, curiosity and play needs to be in there. And for kids who can start to think about their thinking, then you can start using the tools a little more fully. Does that help at all?
Yeah, no, it does, especially because right now I work with middle schoolers, so they're from 5 through 8th grade, so, you know, totally, they're all worlds apart. The 5th graders are little.
Totally,
the 8th graders are totally, you know, right in the thick of adolescence, and there's a lot, each stage is fun in a different way, and it's just hard to focus and find one approach that works because they're so different at those different ages. But it sounds like what you're saying is that's normal, that I'm finding that.
That's usually normal. I mean, there's definitely, like, up to 10 years old, it's like, forget it. But just past that, some kids, you know, start. And the variation within that age range is unbelievable. That's the age of initiation. That's the age where that metacognition kicks in. That's what, in my opinion, puberty does. It sparks that part of the brain and development that gets them to start to wake up to, oh, wait, I'm a player in my own life. I'm not just my parents. I have choices. And so that's where these tools can be brilliant. And 'cause I don't know about you, but I was never introduced to these when I was in that age, which is why I, like most teenagers, were lost and confused and angry, and
I didn't
know I could have control over those new parts of myself. So I would really encourage you to keep playing around with it. Be comfortable in the fact that there's no definites with that age group. And don't be too attached. Just try different things. And if it works, awesome. If it doesn't work, okay, now I know.
Okay. Easier said than done for me, but I will definitely. Okay, that's a good approach for me to take with it.
I think this is important. What's hard about that for you?
Because it's so important to me that I want to be able to do it well. But it's funny, you know, you bring up the word play because play and fun is so important to me. And the more I get that kind of grasping energy on, oh, I want this to work, and I have, the less playful and fun it becomes. So it's just this kind of vicious cycle that doesn't really make any sense. So I think having that intention of play and curiosity and fun can be, you know, that's going to be key for me moving forward.
Yep. The other thing, then I'll just add this and see if it helps or not. I actually do, I'm working with one eighth grader right now, and he comes over once a week, came over today, and the best coach mentoring time that we have together is when we're doing something and he has no idea I'm coaching him.
Right, yeah. Yep.
You know, we went mm-hmm. tapping maple trees today, and then we came back, and we're working on a bow. We're making a bow and arrow. And I just was like, oh, you know, kind of nonchalantly, somebody kind of gave me a poke to ask you about track next year. And he's like, oh, God. And it just opened up the whole conversation. And then I noticed where his edges are, and I asked him about how it made him feel, and I asked him the certain things that he was telling me were, is that true? You know, but it's a little bit less direct, and a little, except for when it needs to be, of course.
Right.
I actually love that place, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Adolescents are in a strange way, way more forgiving, you know?
Oh, yeah, and they're so, I said they're the most TAO people, transparent, authentic, and open people I've ever met, and that's what I love about working with them.
Totally, yeah. So please stick with this because these tools, in whatever form they need to be offered, are really, it's what's going to make healthy adults, I think, you know?
Yeah, okay. Cool, I needed to hear all of that. Thank you very much.
I'm glad you did, and I think everybody else did too. It's valuable to all of us. But that's the great thing about all these tools, guys. They don't just become about creating a career. They're about creating your own lifestyle. Anyway, I talked about that with Duska on the very beginning of the call. Like, I just make tools up that are around things I like doing. But that's just not the only part of it. And going to work to be a coach is not only part of it. This is how I have my relationship with my wife and my daughter and my friends and my community. It becomes a part of who you are. So you asking that question reminds me, and hopefully others, that you're going to interact with adolescent kids, and these tools in whatever form are valuable. So thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. So this, just to get you guys on here, does somebody have a dream that they remember and can kind of briefly just take us right through it in maybe a minute or two? Alan, are you still willing?
Yeah, Michael.
So are you guys getting the weird feedback I'm getting? I keep hearing my voice after I talk. It's driving me crazy.
Yes, it's echoing big time.
Isn't that annoying? I don't know how to make – I have no control over that.
It's not echoing on my end. Weird.
Okay, so maybe it's just some of us. Well, you get to hear the class twice, what can I say? okay, Alan. Alan's going to tell us his dream. I want everybody to please write down the symbols that you hear in the order that you hear them, and then I'm just going to call on somebody to three adjectives, purpose, message. Okay, Alan, you are on. Thank you.
All right. So I'm in the middle of some wilderness. It's woods or forest or something, and I'm totally naked, and there's some food on this flat wooden platter that I don't know who it's going to or what it's for, but I know that I'm supposed to arrange it for whoever it's going to. So I feel a little bit of pressure about that, and I see that there are four mounds of prosciutto on it. So I arrange those a little bit more and put them in a line at the top of the platter. And then the only other thing that I see is a lemon, and I'm a little bit perplexed that there's prosciutto and a lemon. So I peel the lemon, and I put the lemon rind on the platter, and I'm like, well, if we're trying to carry this platter somewhere, the lemon's going to roll off. So I slice a flat side to the lemon, and I place it on the platter. And by this time, I'm noticing just a couple silhouettes of people walking past. And the platter's pretty much finished up, and I think I should put on some clothes. So I turn around, and under this metal chair are a pair of jeans. And I put on the jeans, and I do the belt buckle up. I look under the chair again, there's some black boots, and that's where the dream ends.
That is the best dream ever. Sounds like a wilderness show, naked and afraid. Oh, Alan, that's awesome. Okay, so just in the interest of time, I'm going to name the symbols that I heard. I'm actually kind of truncating things just a little bit. These are the ones we're going to use, but I'm naming them. You can compare them to what you came up with. So the wilderness, food on a platter. I'm combining those two. Prosciutto, separate. Lemon, its own thing. The rind was significant because it kind of came off and there was that interaction with it. You didn't actually mention a knife or anything like cutting it away, so I'm just going to skip that for now. People. Coming up as the silhouette, the jeans, and then the boots. So that's what we've got. Can we get a volunteer to lead Alan through the first series of questions for wilderness and food platter, let's say? Okie dokie. Duska, would you mind going through those first two? Do, start losing people.
So, Michael, is that just the three adjectives asking Alan to become the object?
So what you'll do is you'll ask Alan to become the wilderness. And to give three adjectives to describe yourself as the wilderness. And the kind of thing that helps you might start them off by saying, I am the wilderness, and I am. Does that make sense?
Yep, I'll be happy to do it.
Let me just give her one more chance. Dusk, are you there? Did you come back on?
Yes, I am. I hit the wrong button.
Okay, happy. So how about we do this? Duska, why don't you do the first two symbols, then Ray, you'll take on the next two, and then we'll pick somebody for the two after that.
Okay.
How about it?
So the first two symbols are wilderness and the food.
Food on the platter, yep.
Food on the platter. Okay. Alan. Okay.
Hi.
Wilderness. Alan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wilderness. So can you give me three adjectives that describe wilderness?
That okay. So you want him to be the wilderness, right?
Be the wilderness, yes.
So yeah, you're talking, and this is really important. As the coach, the facilitator, it helps to pretend that you're actually talking to the symbol. So in your mind's eye, Duska, picture that you're talking to wilderness and say, hey, wilderness, can you give me three adjectives to describe yourself? And anytime it sounds to you that it's Alan, and you feel like he's not the wilderness anymore, say, okay, Alan, or okay, wilderness, I want you to drop back into being the wilderness. It's this weird little thing. It takes some getting used to, I totally admit. But after a while, you'll get the hang of it, and you'll have no problem putting people back into the symbol. So have that conversation with wilderness.
Alan. When you say wilderness, Can you be wilderness and give three adjectives to being wilderness?
To describing yourself.
For describing yourself.
I am wilderness. I am quiet. I'm life. I'm secrets.
Okay. Quiet, your life, and your secrets. And What is it the purpose?
Yeah.
Of being wilderness?
No, not of being wilderness, but wilderness, what's your purpose? What's your purpose for being here?
Okay. Alan, wilderness. What is wilderness's purpose in being here?
I am wilderness. My purpose is to provide. Growth.
Okay.
And then a good follow-up is anything else?
Is there anything else? And it's okay if there isn't.
My purpose is truth.
Growth and truth. Okay. And hold on just a second. So what message does wilderness have for Alan?
Beautiful.
Quiet, life, and secret.
I'm here to let Alan expand as much as he wants.
Okay. Anything else?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. And let's move to the platter. There's a platter of food, and we have prosciutto and lemon rind. So what three adjectives of being prosciutto?
Actually, we're going to do those separately, the prosciutto and the lemon. It's just going to be
okay.
The food platter. So as
okay.
The food platter, yeah.
All right.
And the reason, just so you know, Duska, the reason I separated those was because the prosciutto seemed to be its own symbol, and the lemon seemed to be its own symbol, and the platter,
right,
just the way he spoke to it. You know, I listened to the different qualities, I guess, to say. So let's just do food platter the way you're doing it. You're doing great. Go ahead.
Okay, Alan, the food platter, can you give three adjectives to describe being the food platter?
I and the food platter. I am sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
Supportive. Fun, flexible.
You said flexible?
Fun, flexible.
Unflexible, okay.
Inflexible, sorry.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Dirty, supportive, and inflexible. And the food platter, what is the purpose in the food platter being here?
I'm not getting anything, really.
Okay. Now, should I ask another question? Or just, if he's not getting anything, move on to the next question.
You could, and sometimes it's just a call.
It sounds like really it should go into specific, like maybe going into the prosciutto and the lemon.
Well, that's what we're going to go into.
Right.
In a second.
So just
I'm curious, Alan. Is there any part of you, like as you're listening, are you finding that you're trying to think your way into a meaning, or are you just resting comfortably and allowing what wants to surface to surface?
Like with the woods, a couple of them like the secret when that came out, that was just, that just popped up and I said it.
Okay.
Some of them.
So
you know what that feels like.
Feels like.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Duska, seeing that Frank kind of gets the sense of, oh, this is what it's like when it just pops up, I now know he knows what that's like. So, okay, there's no message. I'm going to hand it over to Ray and ask her to do the prosciutto and the lemon.
Okay.
Okay, nice job. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, hey, Alan.
Hey, Ray.
We get to the delicious part now. Okay, so the prosciutto. Become the prosciutto. And prosciutto... What are three adjectives you would use to describe yourself?
I am wanted. I'm for everyone. I am rich.
Rich. Okay, so prosciutto, who is wanted for everyone and rich. What is your purpose for the dreamer, for Alan?
So with this, it's what is your purpose really in the context of the dream.
Okay. So like, just what is your purpose?
Yeah, what's your purpose for being here? Because if you set it up the way you just did, you're most likely going to get the message. And very often, when you just say, what's your purpose, you get a message anyway. So don't be surprised, guys, if you find that happening. Even though I get a message in that purpose place, I'll still ask what's your message. And in those cases, you often find that the message is the same as the purpose. That's fine, no problem. But just to start it off, Mr. Prosciutto, who's wanted for everyone and rich, what's your purpose in this space?
Okay.
I am here to bring people together.
Is there anything else?
Nourish people.
Well, Prosciutto, what is your message for Alan?
I want to tell Alan to embrace people.
Okay. Is there anything else?
No.
Okay.
Well, I'm gonna stop you there. Sure. Ray, how are you feeling?
I have no idea. I don't know. I am fighting back a natural tendency after he says everything to be like, good. Oh, interesting. Like, I don't know how much I should be in it with. Like, I'm finding it really interesting, but I don't. I want to keep my voice out of it.
You know, it's so funny because the one thing I was going to compliment on, not the one thing I was going to compliment on, but the one thing that really struck me as a learning was in those moments where you went, to me, it was you connecting with him. And I think it's so important. So when you, this is my opinion, but I think if you check in with other people and check in with your client, they will give you feedback too. But it lets them know that you're still there, because when you ask just a question and then you're totally quiet, there's that like, are they there? Plus when you go the, like Martha gets really exaggerated with it. She'll be like, and it creates a sense of lightness, which I think, that playfulness actually keeps the motion going and keeps the person kind of engaged in their own experience.
Okay, because so, I was trying to quell that because I wasn't, like, I don't know why. I just thought that's what I was supposed to do, to not react, to react as little as possible, where I really wanted to be a lot more reactive than what I was.
What kind of coaching practice do you want to have? You already said what you want with the kids that you work with. You know, do you want it to be serious and focused and like, very good? Or do you want it to be kind of fun and playful and illuminative?
No, I believe in fun. I'm a firm believer in fun. Yeah, fun.
I am too. And I think you get further with it. And then I'll be honest with you, sometimes I still slip into serious coach. And it doesn't mean there's not times for being serious and attentive and focused. I mean, there are times where that's what's needed. But I do catch myself slipping into it when humor would work just as well, or lightheartedness would work even better. And I'm like, why am I being serious, so serious right now? Like, where did this come? It's not really authentic. It's me thinking that this is what a good coach does.
Yeah.
Just notice. I think a lot of people slip into that. Notice it. And then just be like, oh, I'm doing it. Okay. Yeah, say more. That's okay. It's Alan, what, when you heard those little kind of bits of ums and ahs from Duska and Ray, did you want them to stop desperately because it was driving you crazy?
No, not at all.
Did it do anything for you, like to enhance the experience?
It's hard for me to say right now. I can't, because I don't even remember it, actually.
Okay. Right. That's fair.
It didn't register for me, really.
Fair. So that's something then for all of us here to kind of workshop outside of this class. When you're being coached, notice what works for you. Does it help when people make those noises, or does it hinder? And then you can choose to make them a part of your style, and then you're going to attract people who appreciate that, right? Mm-hmm. I, for better or worse, curse a lot during my coaching sessions. And guess what? People who don't want to be cursed around don't typically sign up for me, but there's a lot of people who are like, I feel really relaxed around you, and I don't know why. And I'm like, shit, I don't know why either. and I know it's a part of it. You know, and I don't do it to be like showy. I do it because that's how I am in real life. And the more you line up with that, I almost hate to say it. Like, it bothers me that it's the truth. I don't know why, but it's true. The more you line up with what your truth is and act the way you act, the more you'll bring people who need that to you. And they'll really appreciate it. And then you're like, wow, I'm getting paid to just be myself. And then you got to work through that whole issue. Like, you don't deserve to get paid to just be yourself. The layers just keep peeling back, and it's amazing. So both of you ladies, really great job. Thank you for stepping up and being willing to go through that. Alan, I think this is really juicy, and I really encourage you to follow up with somebody, your coaching buddy, and continue this.
Sure.
So it's your call, but I think there's a lot there. It seems so rich already.
Great.
And then just the last thing, Donna, are you still there?
I am.
You know, it hit me while being a little transparent. My mind wandered for 2 seconds, and I saw your analysis sheet right in front of me. And in the Frank column, what message do you have for the dreamer? You had said, I'm here to tell her that I'm the smart one and that I want her attention. And then it hit me. There is this part of you that is the smart one and that is calling for your attention. And my hunch is that's the one, the part of you that finally spoke up that you heard and said, get the hell out of here because you don't feel safe in this place. And that had, and so sometimes dreams come up to just reaffirm actions we've already taken. And it had to show up in the form of Frank. Because Frank has been the loud one. He's been the symbol of I'm the smart one. And it showed up in you because it's the thing that's taking control and saying, hey, look, you are the smart one. You have this within you too. How does that land on you, hearing it that way?
I like it. I have to think about it, but yeah, I certainly.
Okay.
Yes. I regained
control. Well, just the fact that you like
myself,
it.
Yes.
Exactly. And the fact that you like it, you know how the body compass works. If it feels like truth, if it is truth, it feels like freedom. So if your body's getting lighter and it makes you a little excited and there's a little bit of, I would like that to be true, then chances are it is. And it's up for you to decide, but it's where I would put my money on. Thanks, guys, for staying a few extra minutes. I'm going to post on the forum what we're going to do in 2 weeks. All of you, amazing. Thank you for showing up so big today. And we'll be talking metaphors in 2 weeks. Until then, see ya.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.